Lenny Minkio on 104.5 The Zone. Let's talk Titans Steelers with the guy who lived this rivalry. He lived Oilers Steelers. Let's get Levon Kirkland on here. Two-time Pro Bowler, Pittsburgh, Seattle, finished up in Philly with one Blaine Bishop, and now part of the Believe Podcast Network. Levon, man, great to have you on the show.
Hey, man, it's great to be on the show. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, Levon, man. Thanks, man, for coming on, man. Blaine here, of course. Man, we have to give you the laundry list of things that you are a part of as far as NFL 90s All-Decade Team, South Carolina's Football Hall of Fame, a Clemson Ring of Honor. I mean, that's pretty elite. And one of the elite linebackers ever in Titans history, man. And you played with some great ones, too, as well, with Greg Lloyd and Green and Chad Brown, right?
Yeah. We had that group together for 3 years. We were all together for 3 years, but it was a tremendous group, man. We really balled during that time. That's when the Pittsburgh defense was really on another level. And it was a lot of fun. Played against you guys, man. Houston Oilers, Tennessee Titans. It was all fun.
Well, give us a fond memory of you and maybe a guy that wore 27, you guys running each other. Tell us what it was like.
Oh, you know what? I love playing against Eddie. Eddie was definitely a big-time guy who could play the ball, who's a tough guy. But I remember his first year, he came in. I think the first 2 games, he rushed over 200 yards. And I'm sure he probably thought the same thing, but he kind of ran into a buzzsaw when he played against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Although we looked like University of Ohio wasn't quite the same team in black and gold. But, yeah, you know, Eddie was definitely a competitor, a tough runner. And I'm telling you, man, there were some physical ball games we played against Houston or the Titans at the time. It really was.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I got to ask you this, though, man. I've never asked you this before, even when we played together in Philly. You wore 44 in college and 99 in the pros. What's up with these numbers, man? They don't even seem right. Do you got some deal with the double-digit numbers?
Yeah, I did. You know, well, in high school, I wore 44. In college, I got lucky enough to have 44. But, you know, when back in our day, you couldn't wear – a 40 number, and for the preseason, I had number 45, which was not going to work for me. And they told me, like, well, you have to get a new jersey. So when I came back to the back to the training to the equipment room, they had four jerseys out. They had 58, 59, 56, and 99. And there was no way in hell I was going to wear 58. That's Jack Lambert. No way in hell I was going to wear 59. That's Jack Ham's number. I saw 56, I saw 99, and 56 is kind of a regular number that a lot of linebackers at the time would wear. But I saw 99, and I had so much good fortune with 44, and I looked at 99, I'm like, you know what? Nobody really rocks this number at linebacker. So I just like, I take 99. The first day in practice, man, guys were looking at me like I was crazy. They're looking at me like, why are you wearing 99? I was like, don't worry, it's going to grow on you. And that was just my rookie year, and it did. It just became my number, a number that I became very attached to, wore for most of my career. And I just think, you know, having 44, having 99 brought me a lot of fortune. I felt good with that number. I really did.
We're on with Steeler great Levon Kirkland.
you mentioned Eddie George. What do you see when you see this latest great Oilers or Titans running back, Derrick Henry? What do you see with him that makes him special in your eyes? And what would you do if that's a guy you had to face on Sunday? How would you attack him?
Well, Derrick is definitely a specimen of a back. You look at his height. You look at his speed, and the way he's running is incredible. He's running with a lot of confidence. He's running with a lot of force. And quite frankly, I think guys are probably afraid of him, which I can understand, somebody being that opposing. you'll be a little bit afraid of him. God, how will I attack him? It's so funny because my friend Brenton Buckner, I used to play with, he had a caption of myself and Derrick Henry and, like, who will win? And at this point in time, me being 51 years old, he would definitely win. But back in my day, I think I would just attack him. I mean, I think you always have to be aggressive. And if you're not aggressive, then you're not going to be able to play football the way it should be played. So he's an opposing guy, no question about it. And I can understand why guys will make business decisions when they come to him. But myself, if I was playing them, I would just, hey, we're going to go after him. We're going to attack you. And the cool thing about football, I mean, you don't have to tackle by yourself. It could be an approach where the whole team gets to the ball and try to tackle. I think people have problems trying to tackle him by themselves, of course. But I think, you know, it's going to have to be a group effort with the Pittsburgh Steelers because this guy can definitely run the rock.
Ryan Tannehill's been such an interesting quarterback since taking over as the starter for the Titans. Again, we're on with LaVon Kirkland, former Steelers linebacker. And everybody, LaVon, this year, it seemed like you expected, okay, he's going to drop off and play. He won't be the same. But he's even been better at this point so far. What have you seen with Ryan Tannehill, and how can he have some success against this unbelievable Steelers defense that stops the run and sacks the quarterback and does a little bit of everything well?
Well, I think he just has to continue to do what he's been doing. He's been playing very well. So I don't think he needs to really change. I think what Blaine probably knows, and guys who play, man, it really matters who you have as far as a coach is concerned and your coaching staff. It makes a big difference. If you can get with a coaching staff, and I was really blessed to play with, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers at that time. We had a new coach, Coach Cowher, and we had Marv Lewis, and we had Dick LeBeau, Don Capers. And so you had coaches that really knew how to teach, that really knew how to put you in a proper position, but they also were coaches that allowed you to be yourself and allow you to play. And I think that's the same way with the NFL. When a guy comes in, you know, you hope to be fortunate enough to get a coach that can vibe with you, you can vibe with him, and you can be successful, because most guys come in with a talent. They come in with a skill set. Now it's all about developing them from college to pro. So if he can do that, then you got a good thing happening. And I think that's what happened to Tannehill. In Miami, you could see the talent, but, you know, it wasn't a good situation for him. So when he came to the Titans, he got his opportunity. He never let go of it, and you got to take your hats off to him. I mean, he's playing very well, and I really see him continuously to play well.
You mentioned Dick LeBeau. We were fortunate enough to have him here and have him as Titans defense coordinator for a time. And I'll tell you what, I enjoyed every minute I got to spend with him. I can't imagine what it was like to be around that guy on an everyday basis. He's just such a unique and special guy.
He really was. I enjoy playing for Dick LeBeau, and I think everybody who's ever played for Dick LeBeau would tell you how much they enjoy playing for him, how much they really played hard for him. And I think when you're a coach and you can get guys to play hard for you, especially on the NFL level, man, that's a plus. And he did that, but, you know, he made defense fun. I mean, we did a lot of different things that most people did. He trusts us to do that. And then also, Dick will listen to you. He really would. Coach LeBeau will listen to you. And if you had a suggestion or you thought that something wasn't working, you know, he would just like, okay, let's not do that. I mean, he had a feel for it. And I think because, you know, not only because, but I think because he did play, that gave him perspective that maybe a lot of guys didn't have. And I think also, and Blaine, you probably can relate to this, he was a corner. And so he never really wanted to put our corners in harm's way or the secondary. And I think that's why he kind of came up with that zone concept. And we were just a perfect combination when we were there. We had the talent to really execute what he wanted to execute, and worked out beautifully. But like you said, I mean, he's a class guy. He cares about you. I remember when my wife passed away, one of the first people to write me a note was Dick LeBeau, and it was really touching because he probably didn't have to do that, but that's why a guy like him, a coach like him, will always be in my heart because of what he does.
On with LeVon Kirkland, longtime Steelers linebacker, two-time Pro Bowler, all 90s team, now with the Believe Podcast Network.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. You had a heck of a run there, man. But whenever you think of Pittsburgh Steelers' vaunted defenses, you think of all these linebackers they've had over the years. Man, but there's so many. It seems like sometimes, do you feel like you get lost in the shuffle there, LeVon?
Yeah, I probably do get lost in the shuffle. I played with three linebackers that were tremendous, and, you know, my job at the time was kind of the dirty work and the grind, but I felt privileged to do it. I really enjoyed my role with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But, yeah, you know, when you run a 3-4, the outside backers normally, they're going to get the puck. They're going to get the luck. They are. And, you know, as an inside linebacker, yes, you do more. But that's just the way it is, you know. Some guys get a lot more; they get a lot more press. And I was one of those guys who I thought I had to really kind of earn my press a little bit, and really kind of had to show people that I was not only just a run stuffer, but I was a guy who could play, who could do everything. It was very versatile. So yeah, it's okay though, because I look back on it, and I thought that I had a great career, and I thought I was a guy who put in some work and. I think, you know, as long as your peers respect you, I mean, that's all that really, really matters. And, you know, I get that kind of love everywhere I go. I get that kind of respect for my fellow NFL players. And it's really cool. So I look back on it. And I love that I got to play with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But also, I love the fact that I went to Philadelphia and met a guy named Blaine, man. We used to moan and groan about the situation we were in sometimes, but it was all cool, man. I consider Blaine a friend now. I mean, I'm glad I met him. And that, you know, if you can have a positive career like we both had, that's what you want. And now, you know, I'm trying to go out there and I'm trying to really help other people to live their best life. So, you know, it's been good for me, Blaine.
Hey, man, well, that's cool, man. I guess talk about a little bit about what you are doing these days.
Oh, yeah, of course. you know, we, as a South Carolina football fan, South Carolina has a huge problem, and we're like ranked 43rd in college and career readiness for our students. And that problem is going to affect our students, but also our communities, also our state. So now we can't, you know, now our students won't be able to move ahead. They won't get the careers they want to have. And, you know, the economy suffers and the community and the state suffers when you don't solve the problem. And so with the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame, we decided that we're going to do something about it and that we're going to have a campaign for the top 10 in 2030 for our students. So we want to be in the top 10% instead of the bottom 10%, which in a lot of categories, South Carolina tends to be. So I feel like it is my duty and my passion to be a part of that. And our plan is, you know, to not only make people aware with the podcast that I do, the Inside Blitz with LeVon Kirkland, the ceremony that we also have, and also the live stream that we have with our Bridge Builders Excellent Program. And so what we do is we try to make sure that we analyze it. We put these Bridge Builder programs all across the state in South Carolina. And, you know, we get the information from all that, and we continue to get better. And I think what we try to do is we try to make a difference through football. You know, it's more than football for us. It's trying to make a difference. And, Blaine, you know that football can teach you a lot of life lessons. A lot of soft skills you get from playing the game. So, you know, we have our little call to action about being either an advertiser on our podcast or our ceremony or our live stream. And we also looking for volunteers, we're looking for donors, and we're looking for members to be a part of it. And we really want people to commit to the movement, not just join the movement, but really commit to this movement. And honestly, seeing a better South Carolina and a better student athlete
You know, having our kids not only depend on being an athlete, but understand that they got a great foundation as a student and they can go on and do tremendous things. So we say picture that future. Picture that future where kids are doing great, our communities are doing great, and our state is doing better. So that's what the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame is all about.
Well, with the great LeVon Kirkland, Clemson Ring of Honor, NFL All-Decade Team, South Carolina Football Hall of Fame, two-time Pro Bowl All-Pro, the great, the legend from the Pittsburgh Steelers, LeVon Kirkland.
All right, let's talk about a former teammate of yours, Mike Vrabel. Most people remember him as a Patriot, LeVon, but he started with you and the Steelers. A, let's get a good Vrabel story, and B, are you surprised by the success he had later on in his career as a player and now by the success that he's having early on in his NFL coaching career?
Well, the best Vrabel story I cannot share with you. And so if you ever talk to Vrabel, just tell him the best Vrabel story that me and him have personally, I can't share that with you. But I met Mike before he became a Pittsburgh Steelers, actually. I was a part of the Kodak All-American team, and we're up there in Hartford, Connecticut, and we were at ESPN at the time, and we did an interview, and I met him, and I thought he was a really cool kid at the time. I had no idea that the Steelers were going to draft him. So when he came aboard, man, Mike was just really cool, I thought. But the one thing I did notice about Mike, he asked a lot of questions. You know, whether they were questions that I'm thinking, like, come on, Mike, you know the answer to that. But no, he asked a lot of questions, so you can see his curiosity. The thing with when Mike came to Pittsburgh, I don't know if it was a great fit for him. I mean, he was a really good player, and he came in and, you know, he played well for us, but, you know, we had guys like Jason Gilden, Carlos Emmons. I mean, we had some guys, and we had Joey Porter, which is going to be a starter. And I don't know if Mike really fit in at the time. So I think that he did it. He made a wise choice of gambling on himself and going to the Patriots and really playing well. So a lot of it is not super surprising because I knew he's always a good player. I just didn't know if he was really a good fit for what we did. But he moved on. He played pretty well. Good athlete. Smart player. Had a nose for the ball. Could do a lot. I mean, when he was doing special teams, you can tell that he was a good player. And I think a lot of times you just see that. It was just for him getting the opportunity to play on a regular basis. I don't know if he would have got that time with us, but he went on with the Patriots and did well. The coaching thing really doesn't surprise me at all because, like I said before, he's a very curious guy. He asked about the defense. He broke it down just like you knew he was a guy that eventually was probably going to coaching. But, you know, when you got a young guy like that, I think he relates to the players. And, you know, they're playing a hard-nosed style of play. And that's Mike Vrabel coming from Ohio State, playing in Pittsburgh, playing with New England. I mean, playing under Coach Belichick, probably giving you a lot more information than you ever have playing with anybody else. So it doesn't really surprise me that Mike has had this success, and I think I can really see him continually having success just like this.
Speaking of continued longevity and continued success, we're on with LeVon Kirkland. This career arc of Ben Roethlisberger, we talked about him a little bit yesterday. You know, he had some off-the-field troubles, and he had a motorcycle wreck and all this crazy thing that happened. But here he is, and he's in year 17, and he's playing at just a high level as he ever has. It's pretty amazing that he's become one of these quarterbacks with Breeze and Brady and some of these other guys, LeVon, that just seems like he's going to play forever.
Well, you know, I think Ben has really done an excellent job, you know, on the field always. He's a unique talent. And whoever scouted him and really believed that he could come in and be a big-time quarterback, you got to give him a bonus. But, yeah, I think on the field he's done some really good stuff. I mean, off the field he's had his problems, but he seems to be a grown-up now, and he seems to handle his business well. So you got to give him praise. I mean, and now also, too, you know, he's a big dude. He really is. I mean, he's a big guy who can stand strong in the pocket. And I think also, too, to give Pittsburgh some credit, they have always surrounded him with some really nice receivers. He has some, you know, quarterback doesn't do it by himself. So he's been with some nice receivers, some nice running backs. So it's been a, you know, a combination of things working out. Like I said before, I mean, being around a good team, that helps you. That helps your career become better, because if you are by yourself and you're a good player, but you have no support system and you have teammates who can't get it done, then you're going to look bad. So although I give a lot of credit to Ben, you got to give a lot of credit to the organization with surrounding him with some really good pieces. And I think this year, I think his mind is just really sharp. And I think that being out last year, he discovered his love for the game again. And I think that happened to a lot of players. You know, you're out and you miss it and you're just like, man, I really will appreciate the next time I'm out there, because you understand what a privilege it is to play. So, yeah, Ben is playing at a pretty good level now. I think this Tennessee game is definitely going to be a test.
LaVon Kirkland with us on Blaine and Mickey, man. Great stuff. Appreciate the time. Again, people can check you out on the Believe Podcast Network at LaVon_Kirkland to see all the other stuff that you're up to.
Does he have any good LaVon Kirkland stories?
Ooh,
oh. Do you have any good LaVon Kirkland stories?
Oh, man. I don't know if some of them can be told on air, but yeah, we'll definitely I'll have to think about that, man. That would be
hey, Blaine. I do know one story. I don't know if you remember this, but it was snowing really bad in Philly, and I came to the meeting about 15 minutes late, and I just kind of sat down and like, what are they gonna do with me? What are they gonna do? It's only a 1-year deal. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I just came in and like sat down. They didn't say a word to me. That's what it's like to be an OG. When you're an OG, you can do that.
He did. Wasn't nobody gonna say nothing either way. They were scared. The coaches too. LaVon, man, take care of yourself, man. Talk soon.
All right, we will, man.
All right, man, take care.
LaVon Kirkland, man, that's good. Yeah, you'll have to think of some of the ones maybe you can tell on the air. Like he said, oh, the best Mike Vrabel story I got, I can't tell. Yeah. When he said, when you see Mike, let him know I didn't tell his story. We got more stories to tell coming up. It's Blaine and Mickey on 104.5. Get it.